Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace, final hour of the show brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 and up and in Tennessee to bet. Okay, quick scoreboard update before we get to Chad Withrow. Let's see if we get Chad online. We should have him in just a moment. Northwestern continues to lead Florida Atlantic 56-50, 4:20 to go in the second half of that one. San Diego State leads UAB 18-13, about midway through the first. Marquette underway against Western Kentucky 5-5, about 2.5 minutes in. Baylor continues to be in control of the 14 seed Colgate 59-42. All right, Willie Donick, Derek Mason here with you. Caroline on vacation. She'll be back on Monday. Chad Withrow, Hot Mic with Hutton and Withrow. We talk to his colleague Jonathan Hutton every Wednesday on the show. And we are consulting Chad to see what's going on here. First of all, Chad, are you a fan of hash brown casserole? Because Derek Mason right now is testing it out for the first time and liking what he's tasting here.
First off, Willie D, it's great to hear your voice and be on with you. Second, I am a huge advocate of hash brown casserole. I'm so much an advocate of hash brown casserole that my go-to order at Waffle House is hash brown casserole scattered, smothered, covered, and chunked little chunks of bits of ham in it. And I do something a little unconventional. I don't know if D-Mace does this also, but I douse it with ketchup. And people think I'm crazy for it, and I'm thinking, well, do you dip your fries in ketchup? Because it's all potatoes. It all stems from the potato, right? Yep. So it's great with ketchup.
I'm sure it would be. I'm more of a hot sauce person on something like this. Now, if it was just, you know, from fries, ketchup, no doubt. Or mustard and mayo together, then dip your ketchup in. Meaning dip your fry in. But with this, I could see a little hot sauce on there. I don't know if you ever traveled down that road, but hot sauce is good on this.
We got into this debate before.
I'm way too big of a wimp to try hot sauce. So I'm not a hot, spicy guy. I know that shocks everyone. I'm way more ketchup than hot sauce, unfortunately for me.
So D-Mace had never had the hash brown casserole. I'm a huge hash brown guy, but so a listener of ours, Wes, just dropped by about a month's supply of hash brown casserole. So everybody in the station today, if they want hash brown casserole, we got you covered.
Well, I'm hungry now.
Okay, so Chad, you just need to come by.
Accomplished to get making me hungry. I'm starving for hash brown casseroles at this point.
All right, Chad, you as a Tennessee graduate, I'm sure we're taking note of Kentucky getting beat by Oakland last night, and apparently Lexington is burning down along with half of the state. So just what were your thoughts when you saw that happen?
My first thought was, this might actually be it for John Calipari.
Really?
And I didn't think that going in, right? And I thought, okay, if it's an early exit, it's going to look really bad for him just because he's really not adjusting. And there continues to be, Willie, this sort of banging his head up against the wall to try to explain things away by simply, oh, my players didn't make shots and I'm getting great players and look at all these NBA draft picks, while not adjusting to the game right now. He's not, I mean, Reeves was a great addition. There's no doubt about it. And he did see a couple years ago that there is a benefit to having an older team, but then even that team loses in the first round of the tournament to St. Peter's with Oscar Tshiebwe and everyone else. So I don't think John Calipari's adjusting, but last night was the first time I actually allowed myself to think they may actually get rid of John Calipari, even though he has a $33 million buyout and a lifetime contract. That's the first time I allowed my mind to go there. I don't know what they're going to do ultimately, but you look at his tournament, the lack of tournament success in both SEC and NCAA tournament in the 2020s, I saw a hilarious graphic that said Fairleigh Dickinson and Oral Roberts have one more NCAA tournament win than Kentucky does in the 2020s in this decade. That tells you a lot about where this Kentucky program has fallen.
Yeah, it's frustrating, I'm sure, for those fans. We know how hungry they are. I do wonder if John Calipari looks at the future of college basketball, because it is, with the NIL and transfers, the formula has changed so much, right? You do need to have, and this is where Tennessee, I think, has put themselves in good position, older players, especially if you can keep them together for longer, there's a huge benefit. I don't care how great your recruiting class is.
Yeah, I think Tennessee's a good example, Willie, because they really found the formula. You know, a year ago, they were a good team, but not really great. They had one really good second half against Duke. They get themselves to the Sweet 16. But that was a defensive team, first, second, third, fourth, fifth, last, everything. They had no offense. They were a great defensive team that they would go through 7-8 minute scoring droughts and couldn't solve people defensively on the other end. So they go out now, Dalton Knecht, a fifth-year guy who's a one-and-done on the other end, the reverse of the John Calipari one-and-done as a high school senior, going to be a freshman and then go to the NBA. Tennessee gets the guy on the end that turns out to be better than anyone could have imagined, and they've set themselves up well where as long as most of those guys come back, they're going to be really old again next year with the ability to go add a guy or two in the transfer portal that's older, that is a known, proven scorer to add to the mix. I think that's the formula that John Calipari should look at. I know after the game he kind of said in passing, oh, maybe I should add a guy or two that's a veteran player to the team next year, but we may not need to also because we're going to be so talented again with the second best recruiting class in the country coming in next year. I don't think John Calipari's figured it out. I think Rick Barnes has in terms of the formula for what he needs in his program. And if Calipari continues, this may be it for him, but if it's not, he's got to adjust. And he has not done a good enough job of doing that in the last few seasons.
I think that is a great point. So you just said it about Tennessee. We've all been curious because they've been good. Now you have Knecht. Certainly last night it had to be a relief to all Tennessee fans because the game was over at the halftime. There was no business of you're in trouble against the 15 seed. I look at their draw. It looks pretty doable. So what are your thoughts on the chances for Tennessee to make the deep run everybody wants?
Well, my first thought was when Kentucky lost, I started immediately getting texts from my Tennessee friends that were, you know, going crazy and bragging about Kentucky losing. And I'm thinking, hey, guys, Tennessee's got a little game against a certain St. Peter's program that everyone remembers from a couple of years ago. So let's take care of business first before getting too excited about Kentucky losing. And take care of business is exactly what Tennessee did in that game. They were far better. St. Peter's is a team that got hot in their conference tournament. I think they finished fifth in that MAAC conference. And Tennessee did what they needed to do as a superior team and looked really good in doing so. Willie, I'm with you. I like their matchups moving forward. I will say, and we'll probably talk a little bit more about the next matchup, this Texas game is eerily similar to Michigan a couple years ago, where Michigan gets in as an 11 seed. They win their first game. They beat Tennessee and that Kennedy Chandler team in the second round. That was an underachieving Michigan team that was super talented with Hunter Dickinson and some of the players on that team. They beat Tennessee to get to the Sweet 16. I kind of feel the same way about this Texas team. With Abemus and Dylan Dessou and some of those guys, they underachieved most of the year. They are talented enough to get the job done. You see that with Tennessee only being, I think, a six-point favorite in this game. But I don't think it's a terrible matchup for the Vols. And this team has everything it takes to go on a deep run. Are they going to be the first-ever Tennessee team to get this program to their first-ever Final Four? Time will tell, but I think you've got three things that you know you have going into every game. I think that Dalton Knecht is going to be fine, and he's going to get his points. I think that Zakai Ziegler is going to come through in some big moments, and he's going to have the courage and toughness to make some big plays. And I think Jonas Adu can be pretty reliable in the post. The two big X factors for this team are the super seniors, Santiago Vescovi and Josiah Jordan James. Those guys are lost offensively right now. It was a good sign to see Vescovi bury a couple open threes last night. Josiah Jordan-James remains lost. He took two shots all night, didn't hit any of them, did not score. If those guys can figure something out, I'm not talking about going off for 15 or 20 points. If they could combine for three threes between the two of them in a game, that completely changes Tennessee's outlook because they're going to start doubling Knecht. They're going to see more and more junk defenses, and those guys are going to get open looks. They've got to bury some open looks if Tennessee's going to advance as far as they can.
We'll talk with Chad Withrow, host of Hot Mic with Hutt and Withrow. Now, Chad, after yesterday, they pretty much handled business, the Vols. But, you know, as you move on to the second round and thus rounds after that, it gets a little bit harder. Is there, and you just talked about some of the things that maybe could be a concern because, you know, Knecht was on last night and, you know, some of the other guys didn't have to really, you know, pitch in a lot. This is just a dominant performance by UT. But is there something that could possibly, you know, rear its ugly head moving forward. I saw that they had 15 turnovers yesterday. Now, listen, again, they beat, you know, St. Peter's down. But when you start to move on in the tournament, those turnovers and those possessions are going to be critical moving forward.
Yeah, D-Mace, I think it's two factors. One, we saw rear its ugly head a bit last night, but they were so far ahead it didn't matter. They were not good at the free throw line. And missing free throws the way they did last night, that could cost you in a game like Saturday against Texas. The other factor to me, and I've heard Dane Bradshaw on SEC Network talk about this, and I think he nailed it when he said it, Tennessee still has this psyche about them where offensive woes become very contagious very quickly. We saw it in the game against South Carolina and Knoxville, their only loss at home this year, earlier this season. I was watching the broadcast, and Dane Bradshaw said, this is a team that at times will look like they've never played with each other or practiced with each other.
I agree with that. That's an interesting way of putting it.
Yeah, and we saw it in Nashville. I was there at the game against Mississippi State. Same thing. They were forcing it. They weren't calling fouls on Mississippi State early. Tennessee got bothered by that. They're driving into traffic. Mississippi State's getting more physical with them. They're taking the ball away. They're getting run outs the other way. And then even when the Vols would get open shots, they'd miss it. They're one of the more contagiously bad offensive shooting teams I've seen that I would also label as a great college basketball team, right? Everyone has this ability to go in spurts where they can't hit anything. We've been watching it with FAU, who's a great offensive team this morning, you know, during their game. So it happens to everyone. But Tennessee has truly great potential. They also have awful potential that when a few guys start missing open looks, it feels like everyone misses it. I felt that way last night at the free throw line. They're contagiously bad at the free throw line. So those are the two things to watch out for. Now, if they play defense the way they did last night and the way they're capable of, they could even survive a bad offensive performance and win a close, low-scoring game. They have the defensive ability to do that, but I'm watching free throws, and I'm watching the psyche of this team when a couple of their star players starts to miss open looks and it starts to bleed over into every player on the roster. That's what could kill this team in the tournament.
Do they have the depth on the bench to make a deep run? Now, we know their starting five is damn good, led by Connect. But as you move further down in the tournament, you're going to need a bench to help you if indeed the starters have trouble scoring.
I'm glad Awaka was okay. You know, he went out with a knee injury last night, and there was some speculation that maybe he was really badly hurt. He was, and he came back in the game. So that would have been a big one for Tennessee because they're going to get in foul trouble. Mm-hmm. Between Adu and Awaka, if they're going to go on a run in the tournament, they're going to have a game. Maybe it's against Texas where they're in foul trouble. So I think Awaka off the bench is very important. I think Jordan Ganey is the ultimate X factor off the bench. He's a guy who can heat up from three and bail Tennessee out. He's a guy who can also shoot you out of the game. And he's going to keep shooting. He's not afraid, and that can be good. That can be bad for Tennessee. I'll be honest. I want to see more Jemai Mashak over Josiah Jordan James. And I love what James has brought to the Tennessee program and all the intangibles that he's brought to the table for this team. But if he's going to be this lost offensively, I don't understand playing him over Mashak the minutes they've been playing him over Mashak, because Mashak is capable of hitting an open corner three. Mashak is capable in a late clock situation to break someone down one-on-one and go get a bucket. And Josiah Jordan James simply cannot do that right now. So to answer your question, D-Mace, I'd like to see more Mashak off the bench and maybe even starting at some point in this tournament from what I've seen so far. But I think their bench is fine. I don't think it's going to be an issue for them. I also don't think it's some gigantic strength.
Let's ask this to Chad. What do you think of the actual matchup with Texas? People will be familiar with Dylan Dessous, who played 2 or 3 years at Vanderbilt. He's been in college forever. He's one of those five. He fits it right in with Josiah Jordan James and Santiago Vescovi. They've played five consecutive years of college basketball. He's good. I forget how to pronounce the other kid's name. Max, it's not how it's spelled.
It's Abemus, I think. That's how they were pronouncing it last night when I was watching the game. Abemus.
But he's a guy that has the ball a lot. I've watched him play. He will take some crazy shots, but he can make them. But I kind of like Tennessee's defense against a guy like that. Also, I look at Texas's on the KenPom inability to rebound. I think Tennessee can exploit them. They can get some second chance points. That's a good fallback if they're not making the shots. But what do you think of the matchup?
I think exactly what you said there, the last part, Willie, and that is Tennessee should have a big-time rebounding advantage in this game. Now, I know last night a lot of it was because St. Peter's couldn't hit anything, but Tennessee had was plus 26 on the boards in that game against St. Peter's. They don't have the same advantage against Texas, but they've got a pretty sizable advantage with Adu down low. And if they decide to go big with Adu and Awaka, which they've done in the past, I think Awaka is one of the best offensive rebounders. If you look at all the KenPom metrics of percentage of shots he gets off the offensive glass, one of the best offensive rebounders in the country when he's in the game. So I think there's going to be some second chance points for Tennessee. Don't fall in love with the three. The one guy you want falling in love with the three if he's hitting early is Dalton Connect. But I think for everyone else, do more what they did last night. Work the ball down low. Go inside out if you are going to take a bunch of threes. But work that advantage down low. I do think Tennessee is going to have an interior advantage in this game to get offensive rebounds, to get Adu going early in it. And I think that Rick Barnes last night was sort of a warm-up for that. In his halftime interview, or during his in-game interview, he said, we want to make sure that we're still dominating this part of the court right here. And he was putting his hand around and drawing a circle around the goal and saying, we want to keep doing that throughout the night. I think that's a preview of what's more to come in this regional. And I think it's a preview of the Texas game of what Tennessee wants to try to do in this one.
Chad, great stuff. Enjoy the contest this weekend, and good luck with your brackets. Great to catch up with you, and we'll maybe check in next week and see if the Vols are still around.
Yeah, Willie, great hearing from you. D-Mace, always good talking to you. I'm enjoying the tournament. I know you guys are as well, and we'll chat soon.
All right. Chad Withrow, Hot Mite with Hutton and Withrow. You hear his colleague every week on our show, Jonathan Hutton. Chad joins Jared every week on his show. So great to catch up with Chad. It's a very exciting finish going on right now between Northwestern and Florida Atlantic. Florida Atlantic in the 8-9 game after being in the Final Four last year, got in basically as a bubble team, and we've got a review. It's going to take forever. Gene Saratore is going to come on the microphone. It's hard to tell who the ball went off of. This is what's going on right now. We'll tell you what's going on, but FAU leads 58-56 with 27 seconds to go. Whose ball is it? We'll tell you when we come back. Stay tuned. We're coming back. We'll have our Take It to the Bank at 1:45, so stick with us for that.